actually they've flown by when you think of all the days that have gone by since those beginning years in 1973. What were the strange lights? Well, we're going to take a look at that this afternoon and see if we can help you figure out what those lights were all about and what was going on. In 1973, I was general manager and a news reporter for KPWB radio station here in Piedmont. This area, as many of you probably know, is really an area with lots of natural beauty, thick forests, clear springs, lots of clear rivers, and it's located between two United States Army Corps of Engineers man-made lakes, Clearwater and Wapapella. Now, with all this natural beauty, it attracts a lot of tourists to this area. But in 1973, the area attracted UFOs also. Not only UFOs, but along with the UFOs came news reporters from around the nation. Believe me, they came from all over. It was UFO headquarters, and that was only the beginning. The beginning, well, the first newsworthy beginning story began February 21st, 1973. You remember that, Randy?
I do.
Yeah, I do. Randy happened to be on that trip. One of the alien ships dropped him off today. So he could be present with us. He was with Clearwater basketball coach Reggie Bone, and five other players were along all along with a game that completed the game, and they were driving along an area that we know as Brushy Creek. And it was winter time, and it was dark. I don't know if it was raining that night or not, but it was a clear night, I presume. But earlier they had known, I think it was Randy, had noticed a bright shaft of light back someplace else before they got to Brushy Creek. And then they got over in that Brushy Creek area, and suddenly one of the players shouted out, there's that thing that we saw earlier. So Reggie stopped the car, and they all jumped out. They witnessed an object that was hovering above a farm field. Well, I'm going to let Coach Reggie Bone tell you what they saw.
Hey, the only thing we saw, it was a real dark night, and it was about 2 hours before the moon came up. And if anybody can recall this particular night, it was very, very dark. And as I said, the thing was in the tree line. And the only thing that we could see was a rotation of lights. The lights were red, green, amber, and white. And of course, a little familiar with airplanes, I knew that, although I didn't say anything at the time, that this wasn't an airplane, that at least wasn't the markings of an aircraft of any type that I've seen before.
I'm probably the only one that still has an original voice track of Reggie in that experience. Because it was darkness, they were unable to determine any shape to the object. About 10 minutes, they watched it, and then suddenly the lights went directly up in the air, and really no noise, and it shot over what we call Himes Hill down in the Brushy Creek area. It was gone. And I'll tell you where it went in just a minute. There wasn't a lot made of this sighting, because I think Reggie told the boys to keep their mouths shut. I don't remember. Did he?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, somebody has told me that. Reggie never told me that.
But some of my team players have kept their mouths shut.
Yeah. They don't talk about it much today, but apparently they talked about it to the other students at school because it became big news around the area. The students in high school, they began to hunt for the UFOs, and the word spread, and this all happened during the time of March of 1973, and Reggie, who happened to be born and raised in this area, very well-respected man. He was a teacher and a coach, and he had a great knowledge of aircraft. In fact, his brother flew for the United States Air Force. His name was Jim Bone. Reggie was a close friend of mine. I hate to tell you this, but Reggie passed away when he was only 48 years old of Lou Gehrig's disease. But he and his team members really experienced an unusual event that night. And they really never got an answer to what happened. The night Coach Bone and his team watched the lighted object fly over that Himes Hill Well, there was another person on the other side that spotted what may have been known as the same object. And I found her later on. Her name was Edith Boatwright. She lived on the other side of the hill. And she gave me a report that what she had witnessed. I do have a recording of it, but it's of no quality that I could play. It was unusual. As a news reporter, all we had was cassette machines to carry along with us. We didn't have all the modern technology they have today. So when I went in the house to talk to Mrs. Boatwright, she took me to where she had seen the UFO. She witnessed it from her bedroom. And so I began the interview by asking her to tell me what she had seen. I have to get out here and pantomime a little bit. And so she said, I saw it through that window. And so I got looking through the window, and I put the microphone over to her face. Nothing came out. And I looked around, she was laying in bed. So I had to run over to the bed and sat on the side of the bed because that's where she had seen the UFO, okay? She wanted to relive the thing as she had actually seen it. And it lasted about 2 minutes. She said it was about 30 feet long and was light colored. That's much more than what Reggie and the boys had seen, but I'm not going to dispute what she had seen. She saw the object only once that night, but she watched it for several times. It had a light-colored body, and it apparently was what Coach Bowman and the boys had seen because it just came right over the hill to her side of the house. Some saw the object more than once in that area. A guy named Earl Turnbow, who lived and farmed in the area around Brushy Creek, now his first encounter was the first made in March, and he was traveling home, and he spotted something hovering over the road that he said and told me that lit up like a carnival, and then the lights went out. That's pretty common for the UFO sightings. And if I remember, I'll tell you why. About 2 weeks later in the same area, he saw an amber light in a farm field. It was raining. He said when the lightning flashed, he saw a dome-shaped object with an antenna at the top. And then his last sighting was a week later while feeding cattle at the farm. It was dusk, and he saw something come down Brushy Creek. It was about 1,000 feet above the creek, and it was shaped like a top. The lights were yellow, green, and red. And it traveled over his farm without any sound. I interviewed Mr. Turnbow, and again, part of this interview I couldn't get back on a good quality tape, but I have part of it. And he told me whatever it was, he sure didn't want it to get him or one of his boys. Here's what he told me.
Well, I felt it's kind of spooky. I don't know what's cooking. It's kind of like Frank Wood. I was all frightened because I hope there's somebody in here to try to get through one of my boys.
Well, they didn't get him, or didn't get one of his boys. And that's the way people were thinking all of a sudden, you know, and there was some fear there. But now the sightings continue to appear, but they're all around Clearwater Lake, which is about 5 miles from Brushy Creek. Clearwater Lake is a earth dam built in 1944, built off the Black River because it covers about 1,500 acres. It was 9 o'clock, and it was March the 21st. This is Gene Coleman and Kathy Leach. Mrs. Kathy Leach were crossing the dam when they were alerted by a red flash on the lake. Now they stopped, they got out of their car, and they witnessed blinking lights that were going up. They explained to me that each time the red light flashed, the object got a little brighter. Had no sound, it continued to rise until it finally circled out of sight. Now, Mrs. Kathy Leach is now deceased. Mrs. Coleman is a retired school teacher here in our community. And this is what she saw that night.
We were driving across the dam, and I was looking out across the lake, mm-hmm. and I saw a red flash out, you know, in the lake. And all of a sudden it flashed again. And so we both got out and we watched. There would be a red flash, and in 2 or 3 seconds, there would be another flash. But every time there was a flash, you could see that the flash was higher. When it got so far up, then lights around the red light came on and they flashed. So then when it got up pretty high, so all the lights came on and just stayed on. What do you think that was? Well, definitely it was never identified, so I would say it was a UFO.
So how does it feel to be back here?
I really don't like to be here at night time.
Why's that?
Well, you know, if these are aliens, they're a lot more advanced than we are. And, you know, they can do whatever they want. I know what I saw was real. I mean, I didn't make it up, and I didn't imagine it. And I know, you know, other people, that very credible people, you know, have told me what they saw. And there was definitely something that happened here.
Now, the story continues because just over the lake area there was a fellow named Ken Johnson. He was the owner of the nearby Piedmont area boat docks there. And he informed me that some campers had stopped by and talked to him, that they had witnessed an object that was moving under the surface of the water, and when they shined a flashlight on the object, the lights disappeared. Now, do I believe that? I believe Mr. Johnson. So I went looking for the campers, and they weren't going to tell me anything. See, because people don't want to tell you about these objects, because as Dr. Rutledge, and I'll tell you about that later on, he came to find out that the news that was reported out of the area of Piedmont was that we were a bunch of country bumpkins and we weren't seeing anything that was legitimate. The next night, KBWB reporter Dennis Keeney, he saw a very large orange light glowing white to yellow. It was traveling from Piedmont toward the Brushy Creek area. Dennis chased it with his car, but as he neared the object, his car stalled. He couldn't get it started. His radio went dead, and thus he lost contact with the object. That's typical of these lighted objects. Then earlier that day, two school teachers by the name of Joe King and Ronnie Miller, they had a daytime sighting near Piedmont. It was about 4:30 in the afternoon while driving on State Highway near Patterson. They both observed a disc-shaped flying object just above the treetops. And they described it as being a metallic in color, oval shape with a flat bottom. And it flew very rapidly with no sound. Let me have Joe tell you a little bit more about it.
Hey, Gerard, Ron Miller, I have about 4:30 this evening. And just this side of the road that turns off at the park, we saw a silvery object in the sky, started to the left, wasn't too far above the tree limit, and it was round, kind of a round shape. It was flat on the bottom, it kind of had an oval top, and it was fairly good size, and it was shining, and you could see the sunshine glancing off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was moving, and it sort of seemed like it moved to our left. And then it just kind of disappeared down behind the tree line. And we turned around and we went by it. We didn't know for sure the feeling of what it was, but anyway, we went back through Patterson looking for it. Then we turned around and came back and drove in the same, place. Looked up the hill that we were going. Couldn't see anything there, so whatever it was there and it was gone. And we saw it for about, we watched it for about 30 seconds or so.
Joe, could this have been a cloud formation?
I don't think so, because it was real bright. It, I mean, it looked metallic. You could just see the glare up off of it. I don't think it was a cloud formation.
Did you possibly see any vapor trail from it?
No, we didn't see anything much at all. All we could see was an object, and when I saw that the picture in the paper tonight, that one that was blown up on the front page, if you just block off the point that was on the top and the bottom of the thing, it was kind of similar shape to that. It didn't have a, it wasn't the shape like a gyroscope picture. Then.
Well, could have been a flying saucer. Joe thought it was. The following evening, Pete, my resident, witnessed a very close encounter. It was a night that a object ship, we want to call it, I guess, flew over Piedmont. And it was witnessed by lots and lots of people. It was March of 1973, about 7 o'clock, and that's when the lights appeared. And they were very bright, and they were very low, and then they blinked, and they shot up about 300 feet, and they flew over the radio station tower. I happened to be the gentleman that was signing on the radio that next morning, and when I got there, the station transformer had blown. So we had to work on it to get it going back again. With all these many sightings, Piedmont became UFO headquarters now. News teams came to town from around the Midwest, and UFO sightseers came hoping to get a glimpse of the mysterious flying lights. Traffic became very heavy in the Brushy Creek area, and everyone was excited as they visited and kept looking to the heavens for the lights. In fact, the highway patrol had to go down there and control the traffic at one time. It was so thick on that little rural road in Brushy Creek. It was truly a UFO party. Most everyone had a pair of binoculars. I remember one fellow, his old friend of mine, he's gone now, he called them binoculars. He hollered at his wife several times, "Get my binoculars over here." They could hear all kinds of noise down there. People had cameras wrapped around their neck. Everyone was excited, and they had a story to tell. A good friend of mine had a story to tell. He's gone now, but he was a friend. He's got a pretty lengthy account of what he saw, and he was no airplane pilot. He kind of knew what was going on and what he was seeing.
Ronnie Miller was on the 21 highway that trains horses. We were driving the last three nights we've been looking for this object and haven't saw it. And we gave up last night, was coming home, and that's up the 49 highway to Mill Springs. And just a little Mill Springs, well, Ronnie spotted it coming all from east to west. We got out of our cars, and we both had binoculars. And of course, they had the flashing red light and the flashing green light. It had what I call a strobe light, like on an airplane, a real bright light that flashes on and off. Now, it got past us in the sky. I'd say it was between 2 and 3,000 feet off the ground. And when it passed us, the flashing light, the real bright flashing light, went off. And of course, about that time, I had it in my binoculars real good, and it decided to go back the way the path that it came from. And of course, when it did, it just went straight up, and of course, and kind of banked to the right. Then after it got leveled out again, then the flashing light came back on. And as it came back to the east again, then there, Ronnie spotted one coming from south to north. And it was much lower, about 1,000 feet, I'd say, above the treetop, and it had two flashing red lights. And they were real beautiful. You just got to see it to really enjoy it. The light. Now, what amazes me is the speed. I don't have any way of knowing how fast. Of course, I fly, and I, of course, you do get illusions of that too, and some
curvature of the earth, how far anything is or how fast it's going. I'd say if it was a jet airplane, which of course it isn't because there isn't any noise, but I'd say to have to break the sound barrier if it was. That's how fast it goes. And that's just about it. Later, then after that, we spotted it again. Of course, we went to Brushy Creek and parked, and we saw it back in the same area, and Ronnie drove 70 miles an hour to try to get up there and head it off. Of course, it was headed to the lake. We didn't spot it, and it was going toward the lake.
Carl Langston. Well, residents looked in the night sky for a lot of nights. I don't saw a lot of strange lights. There was a lady in our community named Maude Jeffries. We called her Maudie. And she was a professional photographer, and she photographed the objects, and that made all of us think, as we would see those published in newspaper articles, not only in the Piedmont, Poplar Bluff, Cape Girardeau area, but all throughout the United States, these photographs of these objects. In fact, I gotta tell you, they appeared even in China. So it's got around the world now. And with that, here comes more UFO investigators. They come to town with teams out interviewing anyone that had a sighting. But then along comes what I call the big guns. That's former Air Force consultant and noted astronomer J. Allen Hynek. He was the head of what they call Project Blue Book back in the 1940s. And he came to Piedmont and interviewed a lot of people. He finally informed us that 80% of the sightings were explainable. I agree. Street lights, car lights. But what about that other 20%? No explanation. So he couldn't explain anything, so we went looking for answers. The nearest Air Force base is Scott Air Force Base outside San Luis, about 150-mile drive from here. Then there's Whiteman Air Force Base near Kansas City. Whiteman bases the B-2 stealth bomber and the Air Force Global Strike Command. Scott Air Force Base controls all the logistics of U.S. military air and land. But they had no idea what was going on. Of course, they might not have wanted to tell us either, but we did talk to them. And with all this news coverage, the questions still unanswered, and the termination of the Air Force Project Blue Book in 1969, the area was still without any answers, nobody helping. We contacted who was then the Congressman of the United States, Bill Burleson, and the Senator of the United States at that time was Stuart Symington. I contacted both of those men to ask them if they could find out if the military was doing any investigating, any strange lights in our area. None. They said they got no answer that anything like that was happening. Well, later on, two men that were in civilian clothing came to the radio station to talk to me about what we were seeing, and we talked to them quite a while. As they left the station, I looked in the back of their car, and they had Air Force uniforms hanging on the inside. They never identified themselves as Air Force, so I just determined they were aliens. Not much has ever been reported of this next thing, but I've known it for years. Makes it a little strange, but you got to go back from 1973 to about 1971. It was a chilly December night. It was evening. It was Reggie and his wife Mary, and there were two other couples with them. And they were traveling in that Brushy Creek area. I remember it's nighttime. They suddenly came up on something that was walking alongside the road. And there's something, I say, is because it had a frogman's outfit on. You know the type, black leather, head to toe, slippers on both feet. Okay? What's that thing doing on Brushy Creek on the road? It was a mile from the river, no house nearby. It was wintertime, nighttime. They told me it was really silent in the car for several miles up the road, and finally someone yelled out, "Did you see that?" I would have probably said that too. There's still no answers. People are confused as to what they saw or heard. UFO watchers kept coming, and our news team was getting wore out with all the phone calls and all the questions. But we were lucky to have a gentleman come along by the name of Dr. Harley Rutledge. He was a physics professor from Southeast Missouri University in Cape Girardeau. He was skeptical about these UFO sightings. It was April 1973. We became very close friends. He was a kind man. He was very intelligent. He was very skeptical, but he kept an open mind too. Well, Dr. Rutledge had seen a story featuring Monty Jeffries and her UFO photos. And two of Dr. Rutledge's colleagues at the university jokingly suggested that he go investigate these UFOs in Piedmont. About the same time, Mayor Roy Anderson and Chief Bearden of Piedmont traveled to the university to request from the dean, or from the dean of the university, if they could send someone from their scientific department to take a look at what was happening in Piedmont. That the people were concerned, they were fearful, they didn't know what was going on. He said he would certainly look into that. And so that's when he talked to Dr. Rutledge about doing that. He was the head of the physics department. Dr. Rutledge told him he wasn't going to touch that thing with a 10-foot pole. Because his professorship was at stake if he was put on the line of what the other Piedmontians were. So he let it go. But a little later on, he saw a news story where the news had been reporting that the Piedmontians were seeing objects, and they were a bunch of hillbillies and etc. And it upset him. He didn't like that. So he went to the dean and said, I'll do that. Can you give me a little bit of help, money-wise, because I have to have equipment? And so they did. They furnished him some money, etc., etc. So Dr. Rutledge began his investigation, and he purchased a lot of equipment. In fact, he had the Globe Democrat in St. Louis fund him a little bit. They said, if you will give us first news reports, we'll give you a little money. So that helped him along. And he had some sophisticated equipment, some that he invented himself. One of them was a magnetic type of piece of equipment that could detect the presence of something metallic that you couldn't see. And he developed that so that he could search for UFOs. So they came to Piedmont, and he brought students with him. And they camped out overnight to look for the UFOs. He became a very intense man in his search for answers. He set up a sophisticated piece of equipment, telescope, sound detector, camera equipment, electromagnetic frequency analyzers. He set up over 150 viewing stations with more than 600 observers watching the sky at various times. His visit led to a 7-year research project, publication of his book, Project Identification. This is the only scientific book ever written about UFOs on a scientific basis. He was a very concise man. He took things down to the science level, and he wouldn't make things up. It had to be real for him. His son, Mark Rutledge, was here last night. Mark was 11 years old when he traveled with his father for those years. And he remembers his father. His father died at age 80. Of all things, he had Alzheimer's. Dr. Rutledge commented in his book that a relationship, a coexistence between us and our UFO intelligence involved. Remember I talked to you about a game being played with the UFOs? He thinks, and he said, in my opinion, this additional consideration is more important than the measurements or establishment that the phenomenon exists. This facet of the UFO phenomenon perturbed me as much as the advanced technology we observed. It is a facet I cannot really fathom, and I have thought about it every day for more than 7 years. When they would get close to an object, even an airplane, it would blink at them like, here I am, and then it would blink out, and it drove me nuts. In this book, Project Identification, his final writing was that more UFO flaps will occur from location to location, winning converts. More people will believe in UFOs, he wrote. If we learn their secrets, they must be studied scientifically with instruments. When we understand them on a technical science basis, when most of the world's inhabitants accept the reality of UFOs, then we will meet them face to face, quote, and then we will know their mission. I want you to think about what he's written there several, many years ago, and what the United States News has been reporting recently. Have you seen anything about UFOs on the news? Have you seen them talk about the fact that they think they had UFOs and they wondered what they were? They kept it from us for so many years. It was an interesting time. I went through it. It's still an interesting time. Have you seen a UFO? Only recently, a gentleman told me they were fishing on Clearwater Lake, because people still tell me their stories. I can't tell you the name because they said, no. And his wife with him. A very bright light appeared over the top of the boat, shining down on them for several seconds. As they looked up, it went out and they took off. He said, we left the lake. That's not unusual. That's happened more than one person. The UFOs were flying at this time in 1973. Some of the sightings were very unusual, like Reggie Bone and Gene Coleman and Joaquin. There were other sightings that we'll just never know about, since some people won't just tell us. They just wouldn't give the story up. We had stories of mining activity out in Patterson around the Red Bull Cave area, where people heard high-pitched sounds like drilling going on. This is part of the lead belt, and so the news media has taken off on that. 1973 was a pretty rainy year in Piedmont. So was it swamp gas? Some people thought it was. Maybe it was a saddle fog. Maybe it was a UFO. I think it was a UFO. What is a UFO? Unidentified flying object. This was some kind of aerial phenomenon, unexplainable. Even William Shatner doesn't know what was going on. These UFOs have been around a long time, and no one has been able to explain what they see. I invite you to go into the night sky, or go out and look into the night sky, brother. If it's a clear night, because you don't do that very often. No, you don't go out every night and stand there like, just don't do it. But if you outset, it's summertime and a spring night, you'll be amazed at what you see. And when you do that, go tell your neighbor what you saw and see what they say to you. Because that's what Piedmont residents have gone through for many years. They try to tell their neighbor, duh, is that really so? Is that what really happened?
Oh, my God, it's kind of spooky. It's scared to death.
This is the type of reaction one gets when talking to people who have sighted the strange unidentified flying object.
That's part of the old broadcast we had many years ago. Hey, I want to thank you for coming.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you.